Here's what I like to do now. I want to jump right into the conversation of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And truly what we're going to be covering is a word that we consistently find there. If you're watching us on our online campus, we're so glad you joined us today. Please stay with me for the entire conversation because there's some, if I could say it this way, pastoral thoughts that I want to share with you. The Bible, has anyone ever heard this? This may sound really weird to you. Has anyone ever heard that a pastor is like a shepherd? Okay, so could I say this as a shepherd, myself, Pastor Brent, Pastor Aaron, there's some things that have concerned us about the flock. That sounds really churchy, doesn't it? But hopefully it gets the picture that I need you to have. In our conversation today, I will tell you this. There's a really good chance this is going to be the simplest and possibly shortest sermon that I'll preach all year. So can I get an amen on that? I mean, I just said it could be a short sermon. That alone should excite you. And looking at, by the way, as a reminder, you can download our app. All the sermon notes are going to be there for you if you want to follow along. I would love to, if you're watching us on our online campus right now, I know if you're watching your phone, this may be hard to do, but if you have your TV on, if you have a computer set up, I would love for you to take a picture of where you're watching from. If you're having a cup of Joe, which I don't even know what that means, like cup of Joe, take a picture of that and post it on the social media that you're following us on right now, or if you're watching us on through our website. I would just love to see what you're seeing right now as you're watching us. What are we going to talk about today? So in watching this whole video, wouldn't it be easy to have an entire conversation trying to figure out what it means that God is light, right? That was like a huge section. So, okay, should I talk about that? And then the other section in looking at it is God is love, right? And so there's these two things. But if I were to say to you, hey, today we're going to talk about how God is love, how many have been in church for any time over 3 weeks and probably heard the phrase God is love? All right, so how do we really want to dive into that? And then I will tell you this, I got really hung up on chapter 2, the very beginning of it. There is a beautiful courtroom picture. And do you guys ever watch those dramas where, you know, like someone gets arrested and then they prosecute and then they're in the courtroom? I can't even name one right now because I don't watch those. But imagine you sitting in a courtroom and all the evidence against you, and then a lawyer comes walking in by the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, you got to feel like your chances of winning become a lot better. And I will tell you this, if anyone's ever trying to figure out how do I lead someone to the Lord, John 3:16 is an awesome verse. You may want to check out 1 John 2 and paint this picture of a courtroom. I was so fired up about it. I'm even getting goosebumps now thinking about it, but I don't want to talk about that. And then 1 John is the first time we hear someone in the video, they call it the anti-Messiah, or have you ever heard this phrase, the Antichrist? And I was like, oh, well, let's open up that can of worms and let's talk about the Antichrist and what does that mean? But if you read 1 John 1:22, he actually tells you exactly who the Antichrist is, and it's people who are anti-Christ. Yeah, it's real simple. So I was like, well, I don't really want to get into that because that's even a shorter sermon than I'm planning on doing today. Like there's one, if you don't believe me, by the way, go read 1 John 20 through about 24 and he explains it to you. And then of course you always have the famous, this is not a new command I give you. And where do we get that? Well, we actually get that out of John 13. What does John 13 says? A new command I give you. So in 1 John, he goes, it's not a new command because the new command was already given. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. How many have ever heard this verse before, right? And by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And then that's when my mind went down the road. They will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Know you're my disciples. And I started wondering, okay, how do we become his disciples? How do you become a constant follower of Christ? How do you become more like him and less like the sin nature that you have? And then there's one word that if you go through and read 1 John and 2 John, you'll see consistently. It's not in 3rd. But there's one word that in 1 John, 18 times it appears. And it's the word abide. Can you say that word with me? Abide. And I went, you know, John, if you said one word 18 times, I wonder if this was a big deal to you. And so that's when I realized, can we just talk about the word abide? I know this doesn't seem like a big word, but the word abide, and again, this is in your sermon notes that you can find in your app. It means to remain or abide. It's in a reference to a place. It actually means to tarry, not to depart, to continue to stay present, to stay still, stay put, stay where you are, right? To help, be held, to be kept continually, to wait upon. So here's how we'd say it in 2020. Hey man, do you want to come over to my house and hang? I don't know if anyone actually says it that way, and I'd feel really dumb at 40-something years old saying it that way. But I mean, have you ever, do you want to hang out, right? What if we said it this way? Hey man, do you want to come abide? Does that kind of, I think I may try to start that, by the way. I can see that now. When I text you, tweet you, Facebook you, I don't know what you're doing tonight. You want to abide for a while? Just see if it kind of catches on. But can you see the picture there of, hey, well, what are you going to do? We're just going to hang out. It doesn't have to be a part of anything. It doesn't like you have to have big plans. You just want to abide for a while. And then you just go, okay, so John, if this is your thing that you keep saying over and over, where do you get the word abide from? And again, let's just go to John, hanging out with Jesus all the time. And in John 15:1-4, it says this, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it becomes even more fruitful. So think about this. Jesus is now painting the picture of a vineyard, and his Father's around pruning and trimming what needs to stay and what needs to go. And so you've already been clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So here's what Jesus says right here. Abide in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And this is where I wonder, is this the sermon that John loved the most? Have you ever been around someone where they have the song that they've been listening to, and no matter what conversation it is, they say, you need a song to worship to. Here's your song you got to listen to. They've been out by the pool. They've been out playing and camping and fishing and all those type of things. And like, man, if you're out, this is the go-to. And some people would even say country song, which we can talk about that later. That may just be demonic. I'm not sure, but this is your go-to song. This is my party song. This is, have you ever, when the song comes on, you look at your spouse and say, oh, this is our song, right? And so I'm wondering if John, we have a great partner here at the church that if you talk to her for any amount of time, she's eventually going to say this phrase to you, before the foundations of the earth. She's a one-hit wonder. It's the only sermon she knows. And you kind of go, hey, why don't you get some new lines? Why don't you learn something new? But here's the thing. It's the sermon. It's the thought. It's the revelation that becomes so true. It's become a part of who they are. I wonder if John so understood the picture of a vineyard and a tree and a branch that he understood the only way to get life is to abide. So right now I'm going to ask my beautiful assistant to come help me because... well, during the video, I realized I forgot to get a branch earlier today. And the branch she got me has no leaves on it. So here's what we're going to do. None of them had leaves on it. So between the two services, we will find a different branch. But if I were to ask you this right now, is this branch currently abiding with the tree that it came off of? I have a question. What is a telltale sign that you know this tree is no longer abiding? Well, no tree, yes. That's a fantastic answer. And you know, I deserve that answer because it was a... But let's just say there was a tree still attached, which it's not. What's another? What's a different form that you can tell that this branch is no longer abiding? It's dead. There's nothing on it. I have a question. If we sat here long enough and prayed long enough and had our faith high enough, could this branch have leaves again? No. What if we sat here long enough and said, hey, this, by the way, this came off an apple tree, and if we wait long enough, we'll be able to eat. But I have the faith that we'll be able to eat. This isn't, you can't say, David, Pastor David, whatever you want to call me at this point, dude, like, you don't have enough faith. No, it's not that I don't have enough faith. I know how it works. That if it's not attached, it won't have life. And what John is telling us, that if you're not attached, you're not going to have life. If you're not attached, you'll never see fruit. If you're not attached, eventually you dry, rot, and wither away to nothing. And John here is telling us, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the only way you see leaves, the only way you see color, the only way you see fruit is by saying attached to the one that you say you love the most. We must do what? Hang out with him. We must just abide with him. So can I say it this way? Abiding is just participating in a shared life. Right now, this is not a shared life with anything. It's by itself. It's alone. And there's no way to get life, and there's no way to get nutrients. There's no way to get value unless you just abide with the one that is the branch. And so John's been saying, by the way, abiding with him, some pretty cool things happen. And if we're going to do just a big exhaustive, if we abide with him, then the promise is that we'll live fruitful lives. Doesn't that make sense? You're abiding. By the way, if you abide in his word, prayers that you have, you will get answers to. Can you believe that that's a promise? Have you ever heard that? Why isn't my prayers happening? Well, I have a question. Are you abiding with his word? Because sometimes you get in his word and you say this. Ready for this? I know you're going to be so mad at me because you're praying for your lottery ticket to be the big one. Sometimes you abide in his word long enough to realize your prayers are going to be ineffective because you're not aligning with his will. But if you abide in his word long enough, you start seeing prayers because you start praying things like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Oh, wait, there it was. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because most of my prayers, I don't know if you are anything like me, I'm a selfish prayer, and most of them start like this. I. Me. But when you abide in his word, all of a sudden your prayers, and when you abide in his love, the longer you abide in his love, you will begin following his commandments. And guess what? At this point, abiding in him, this is how they will know. Because we love his ways and we follow his ways, and the fruit of our lives start demonstrating it. So what does it look like to abide? This is where I want to just take a moment, and if I could, I almost want to get rid of this. You know what? We're going to do this. We're going to just move this side. I'm going to keep my notes in my hand. The band looked so amazing on these earlier. Could we just have a conversation real quick of a major concern that I, Pastor Brent, Pastor Aaron, have been having for months now? And it revolves around this word abide. Abide, having a shared participation in life with God. And here's what the concern is. Because of COVID changing up our schedule, how many schedules, your life has been changed, your routines are changed. And one of the major routine that has been changed, that is changed, and guys, can I just tell you now, ladies, can I tell you now, probably will continue to change, is doing life like we've always known it in regards to Sunday morning gatherings, as far as midweek get-together, small group relating. It has changed. It is changed. And there's a good chance it'll forever be changed. And a few statistics that I want to share with you, that as a pastor, or can I say it this way, as a shepherd over a flock, as someone, my primary role that God has given to me is to make sure that you are healthy and that you are going where you need to get fed in order to become who God has called you to be. A Pew Research poll says this, 20% of every Christian that attended church before COVID is not planning on returning at all. So 1 in 4 Christians, the routine of Sunday morning, the routine of coming to church, dropping their kids off so someone else can teach them about God, to come sit in church, to then leave, that routine has been disturbed. And now that they're out of the habit of it, they're not even planning on returning. Or can I say this? No longer abiding with God. Here's one, and by the way, this is just general. This isn't specific to Christians. CDC came out with a study this past week. People between the ages of 18 and 24, 25.5% has contemplated suicide over this time of COVID. the youngest people with the greatest potential for a future that is undefined, it's been so disturbed that they thought it'd be easier just to get out of life. If that doesn't weigh on you, you don't have to be a pastor for that too. That's a major concern. Imagine one in every four friends that you have reporting to you, my kid killed himself this past week. And then here's the other one, and I will tell you this, if you're watching this either live with us now or maybe this has been sent to you asking you to please watch this, this is the one that's been weighing on my heart. Barna surveyed, and they found out that 32% of all Christians that were part of an active church or active Christian life before COVID, 32% of them since COVID has happened and their churches were forced to be shut down or encouraged, and let me say it that way, encouraged or mandated to be shut down, 32% of Christians have neither attended a church live or watched an online service since COVID occurred. They have gone months without any interaction with church whatsoever. And so as a pastor, I would ask this question. And here's the question that you need to in this season, are we abandoning the basics of our Christian faith? Well, nowhere in the Bible does it say go to church. Well, that's a different conversation. But let me ask you this. Are you still engaged with God during this season? Because statistically speaking, a third, 25%, 33%, they're not. And I believe it's all wrapped around the basis of come to Sunday morning church, and maybe as a church, maybe as a church in general, maybe pastors, maybe we developed a mindset that you are a good Christian if you come to church on a regular basis. And it's got to be so much deeper than that. It has to be so much more personal than that. It has to so much be one-on-one with God and you abiding with him on a regular basis. And here's the problem with church. We don't know how our church is doing right now, and here's why. Everything we used to measure, we can't measure anymore. And if you just heard your pastor say you measured what's happening at the church, absolutely. Attending, giving, and serving. If people were not attending, guess what? We weren't doing something right. But we can't measure attending like we used to because guess what? There are people right now, we know one person, they're about ready to have a baby. And they have a concern coming into large group gatherings on a regular basis. And here's what they said. We're going to take a brief time of not being around. Another person, the sole provider for his family, one of the persons that he worked with is at high risk. In order for his family and the person he's working with, he's social distancing from everybody right now. But they're communicating, hey, we're just going to be a part of the online campus. But how do you measure online campus? Because you can measure it in 3 second, 10 second, 1 minute watches. Did they even have the volume on Facebook as they scrolled through? How do you even measure that? And by the way, this isn't a question we're asking, it's churches across the board asking. So I can't measure if you are actively participating right now because the main measurement of attending, but giving, I can tell you this, giving, when we have larger crowds, giving is up. When we have smaller crowd, giving is down. And right now, across the board, as a church, our giving is drastically down compared to where we've ever been as a church. But is that a fair measurement? What about people who are off work? What about people who have been furloughed? What about people? It's really hard to just say, well, if you're not giving, that means you're not participating. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. And then, of course, serving. Well, serving right now, the Nav Kids aren't open. The cafe isn't open. We have some greeters. We have some bands. But then we're not doing our major outreaches that we've had. We've already canceled Easter for this year. For those who don't know, we've already canceled our fall festival for this year. And this is where a lot of people rally to come out. So what is the definition of serving in the church right now? So I have no way to tell you as Navigation Church, are you healthy or are you unhealthy? But I can say this, are you personally, practically abiding with God on a regular basis? It has to be a self-assessment. It has to be something that you know. I know as a church, we are trying to figure out what does church look like 6 months and 12 months from now. Because I do believe those of you watching this through video or on our online campus, that's only going to grow. As of now, the plan is for this building to be sold. We're under contract for this building to be sold. Now, we will stay here for some time after that. But as we're looking for a new campus, we're asking the question, how big should it even be? Why go out and get 500-seat auditorium if people don't want to come to a gathering place? Or here's one for you. Ready? I'm going to blow your mind, and the team's going to be freaking out that I'm saying this. Do we even bother buying one well place? Do we buy 3-4 little places and just spread out immediately? You know, what does it look like in the days to come even to do church? And so if you're hearing me right now, I have a huge concern that the habit of Christianity has been broken, and in that way your relationship has now been broken. I hope I said that clear. Did I say that clear? The rhythm of I go and I do church and I feel good on a Sunday morning, now I go back to everyday life. When you abide with Christ, your life is always about participating with him in life. And by the way, when you participate in his love, in his word, and with him, that's when you get the fruits of love and joy and peace. So if you're just watching this little clip, if you're listening to this whole sermon, here's what I have to say to you. What do we need to do to abide? I'm going to give you four things real quick. And I will tell you this. 2 weeks from now, we're going to start a conversation. We call them our 5 P's. And there's 5 tools that you can do as a follower of Christ to always be engaging him. And we're going to cover these over a 4-week period. But the first thing I want to say to you this is define your Sunday morning routine. What does it look like now? You do not, you're going to freak out when I say this, you do not have to be here every Sunday morning to have a healthy Sunday morning routine. You can be a part of our online community. You can still be a part about engaging with us and being a part of that. If you do not feel comfortable being in large crowds, if you don't like wearing your mask and you're making a stance there, I am not a mask guy. I have my personal opinions. Guess what? This morning I was more than happy to have it on to make people feel more comfortable as they come in. And so you need to define what your Sunday morning routine looks like. And guess what? And we know this, we're not going to be shy about it. We have not spent $100,000 to make our online worship sound as good as it does live. There are churches out there that have a credible post-produced worship. Listen to them for 20 minutes, then tune into us and listen to your sermon. You think we're jealous who you get your worship from? Find a way to worship God. The second thing I'm going to tell you is this. You need to connect with a nav group. Over the next couple months, I promise you, you're going to hear this every which way from Sunday. Because what happens if another mandate comes out and says you can't meet on Sunday mornings, but groups of 10, 15 can still meet? You can still meet in your small group community and be challenged and encouraged and uplifted. Do not make your Christian walk, especially your relationship with Navigation Church, all about a Sunday morning experience. Get connected in a nav group. And we're going to give you all the ways to do that. You can always stop by one of our next steps. Those watching online, you can email us. You download our app. There's going to be more than enough ways to be able to do that. And then this third one I want to tell you about. This one's so heavy on my heart. And I can even tell you an experience that I had last night. Parents, you need to train your children. Yes. Yes. The only way they get what they have is because you intentionally give it to them. And if you're right now, I have a fear, I have a concern, I have a worry that there are children that have been a part of Navigation Church that have not had any God experience for 3, 4, 5, 6 months because our Nav children have been closed, our Nav kids have been closed, and you have not been intentionally pouring into them. And by the way, I get it. I'm not blaming you. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel bad about this. Here's what I am saying to you. You need to develop the habit of doing it, though. But you maybe never thought about that habit because you take them on Sunday morning. Maybe they go to a small group during the week and you have those conversations and that was enough. But right now, when they don't have it coming from any other ways, this is what I'm going to say to you. Pastor parents, pastor your children. It is so up to you. Last night, so one of my boys yesterday had a fall off of a bike. His arm's been hurting. There's a massive debate if it's broken or not. And so I'm just doing what I do, and I let time heal all wounds. So we've been having this ongoing conversation, but we were on our way home from some friends last night. And one of my other boys says, "Dad, instead of talking about it, can we pray about it?" I was like, "Well, that's a fantastic idea, son." Almost wish the pastor of the family would have thought about that. And we had a 10, 15, 20-minute, not just a prayer meeting. We started asking God to heal. Okay, and buddy, move. Are you feeling any heat? Are you feeling any miracle? Is pain going away? Is increasing? And we were just working as a family, praying on my son's arm, expecting. I'm telling you, I really expected him to go, I'm 100% healed. There's no pain whatsoever. My faith was there. But then when it all got done, I went, if this was nothing more than an exercise to show my kids how to press into God, we trained them. Most of the times in a conversation with my kids, rather than go, well, this is what you should do and this is what you do, I always try to say, hey, by the way, don't forget, the word says this, that you can, da, 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 and I try to add that word into it. Parents, you need to be training your children right now in the way that they should go when they're old. They will not depart from God. But then the final thing I would say is this, choose to engage with your church. So what does this look like? On social media, hey, it's a little thing. When you come here, when you're watching us online, check in. Let your friends know. If you're watching us online, start a watch party. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. But then also through the week, subscribe to some of our social media stuff. Be engaged there. Start the conversation. Share stuff out. And what's going to happen? This does not happen. I know right now some of you in your business mind are going, well, yeah, right now the church is using this to get their hits up. If we want to get our hit ups, we can just pay for that. But what happens is, and I've seen this 1,000 times over in just the last couple of years, you start sharing stuff out, someone says, hey, this is interesting, tell me more, and you begin a personal conversation where you have a providential relationship with someone in the middle of a pivotal moment, and in that pivotal moment, you get to have your personal ministry occur. That seemed like a lot of P's. Did you hear those P's? I almost wonder what those mean. Come back 2 weeks from now and we'll tell you more about them. But we want to lift up your personal ministry during this time. And one of the best ways is to engage in the church. But then I'll also tell you this, tell us how you're doing. We've been making phone calls. Can you imagine a year ago saying that we're going to pull out a good old fashioned phone tree and get a hold of everyone? How many remember that from days gone by? Church is canceled, get out the phone tree, call your 10 people. Like, we just had people on the phones calling people. Most people don't know how to answer a phone anymore. They text back, is everything all right? Yeah, pick up your phone. We want to talk to you. But engage your church. Tell us how you're doing. What can we be praying for you for? Engage your church. If you haven't been coming on a regular basis, give. You can still engage the church by giving, by going through the app. We get checks in the mail every single week. Engage your church on serving, attending, as well as giving. And so these would be just the four things that I want to encourage you as a pastor right now, that if we do not intentionally start doing, I will promise this, if you say, well, I'm just going to wait for church to get back to normal, I'm here to tell you now, there is no such thing. Maybe 2, 4, 5 years from now, but we are moving into a different age and a different season, and Navigation Church, we will change with the time while never changing what the message is. And the message of this, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And the only way you get to know that better, the only way you get to understand that in a greater way is to abide with Him. What is the best way to abide with Him? Define how you're going to do it. Can I say on your Sabbath, what your that Sunday morning routine is, connecting in small group communities in order to do life together, intentionally passing it down to the next generation, as well as learning how to serve other people. God, I just ask that as we are doing these things, let us not get 2, 4, 8 months from now and realizing that we're a dead branch. Because God, so often our Christian life can look healthy long after we've no longer been abiding with you. And it's because there's still life in that branch. There's still nutrients in that branch. There could even be green leaves on that branch. But eventually, God, we run out of what we have inside of you, inside of ourselves. And we will die off. Give us wisdom today of how to abide with you so that we can continue to grow as Christians. And do not let, God, may my intercession be this today, let Navigation not be a part of that percentage where a third of people say this or 20% of Christians say that. But God, let us be, as we are re-engaging, as we are coming back together, as we are online in our online campus, God, let us have an understanding that while post-COVID, we are better off than when we were pre-COVID. God, give us the wisdom to not be a part of the statistics, but let us be a standard of what you're raising up in America. And let an individual today, I pray if anything that I've said today, you're just feeling guilty. I apologize. I did not communicate that well. My goal is not for guilt, but conviction. My goal isn't to make you feel bad about who you are or what you've been doing, but to give you some new information so that you could rise to a new level of revelation in your personal walk and your personal ministry. I pray today, God, that we don't walk out of here or watch this and feeling anxious about what was being said, but at peace knowing that either A, we've been called to a higher level, or that we are truly walking the life that you've called us to. God, help us take our next step in a growing relationship with you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.